Well, good morning, everybody. I'm going to put my notes down, and then I need a prop. For those listening on the podcast, I'm going over to a basket, and I'm going to pick up a flag. For those on the podcast, it's blue and purple. Well, I saw a BBC News headline yesterday, which just resonated with me. Anton Deck, vuvuzela, hanging from lampposts, Newcastle celebrate cup win, something like that. We do have some Sunderland and some Liverpool supporters in our congregation, so I won't talk about the football. But what resonated with me were three things. Firstly, vuvuzela. What a great Scrabble word. African horned instrument. But more importantly, just the carnival atmosphere of the passage that we're going to talk about. In this lesson, Anton Deck, tax collection. Hanging from a lamppost, you know, people trying to get to see the kind of football team as they come past to celebrate. Zacchaeus going up the sycamore fig tree so that he could see Jesus. For today's message, today's lesson comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, and it's how salvation came to Zacchaeus when Jesus visited his home. Under the title, Jesus, the Guest of the Sinner. So today we're going to continue our Lent series. Fixing our eyes on Jesus is the caption for the series. And in these 40 days leading up to Easter, we're going to, as a congregation, as a church, we're going to work hard to focus on Jesus and his message. And, we have that short passage from Hebrews. This is Hebrews 3, which kind of gives us the overview. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to fix our eyes on Jesus and think particularly of his message of salvation. Last week, Paula Jane spoke to us in the same caption, but on the subject of temptation. We looked at Jesus in the wilderness being tempted by Satan and how Jesus was able to use his presence and his knowledge of Scripture to turn away from that temptation. And hopefully we're able to turn away from temptation. And hopefully when we turn from temptation, we're not eating that lovely cake when we said that we weren't going to. And not cheating on our taxes or cheating on our partners. Or even looking at something online that isn't wholesome and good for us. And when we give in to that temptation, we'll call that sin. We talk about sins, the things that we do, and sin, the nature that we all have, a human nature to sin and to not follow God's word and his commandments. But, of course, I bring good news. It's in our passage that we'll read in just a moment. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. So he came for each one of us. He seeks us out and he can bring saving if we accept it. So our passage is Luke 19. And I'm going to read from verse 1. And through the marvellous technology that we have, Pete will be projecting it. I'm reading from the NIV. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, boo, and was wealthy, boo. He wanted to see Jesus, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up to him in the tree and said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay in your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to the house of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." I'm going to bring us 4 points. You can tick them off as I go through. First of all, don't we recognize this man, Zacchaeus? Something about the description just kind of resonates with us. And we recognize this funny, small man. It brings to mind someone bustling about, hurtling around, full of hubris, self-important, too busy to stop what he's doing. If we walked past him in the street, he'd be probably carrying a folder and kind of rushing on, too busy to stop to talk to us. And Zacchaeus is that neighbour or that colleague that we have at work who's all about looking after himself, focused on the acquisition of wealth and power. He's slightly comical, but really annoying. Then we have that description in our culture, Napoleon complex, the manner of a small man trying to dominate things through his force of his personality. We could use that to sum up Zacchaeus. 2. Well, the crowd really dislike Zacchaeus. Of course, Zacchaeus is a tax collector. Worse, he's chief of the tax collectors. And in this town of Jericho, it's a very profitable trade in balsam. It's a resinous substance from a tree that's used in perfume. And Jericho is the center of balsam production. Very wealthy kind of town. Lots of revenue in taxes. The taxes, these were imposed by the Roman overlords, by the Roman administration. And just like taxes everywhere, the residents, the Jewish inhabitants of Jericho, they hated these taxes. And of course, the crowd, they see Zacchaeus, chief of the tax collectors. Well, this man is siding with the occupying forces. He's a traitor. He's looking after himself and the people who have invaded their country and taking money from them and from their neighbours and giving it to the Roman occupiers. And worse, Zacchaeus has become very wealthy. How does a tax collector become very wealthy? Cheating on the take, taking more tax than perhaps he's supposed to, defrauding the residents of Jericho. This man is not well liked. Zacchaeus is seen as a sinner by the crowd. And in his gospel, Luke mentions tax collectors 13 times and frequently mentions tax collectors in the same sentence as sinners. I have a little example of that, and we'll look at Jesus' parable, which is two men who prayed, and it's just in the preceding chapter in Luke chapter 18. I'm going to read from verse 9. So this is a parable of Jesus. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and one a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, even this tax collector. Might have been Zacchaeus. Scripture doesn't tell us. Even this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector sat at a distance, stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus says, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, the Pharisee, went home justified before God, made right before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Let's agree that tax collectors were seen as sinners. Well, Jesus' ministry is to the lost, to sinners, so also to the tax collectors. Jesus says, for the Son of Man came to seek out and to save what was lost. Jesus came to save sinners. Also, as Luke chapter 5, verse 32, Jesus said about himself, I have not come to save or to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus' ministry is to call sinners into repentance, so that they can be redeemed, they can be brought back into God's care and love. And two reasons why the crowd might see Zacchaeus as a sinner and dislike him so much is, well, Zacchaeus is a small guy. He runs on ahead so he can climb the sycamore tree to get a better view of Jesus. That's so unfair. That's not playing the game. The crowd, they're there following Jesus and they're hearing all of his teaching. This guy runs on ahead so we can get a better view. It's just like the crowds that I saw just before the coronation of our king. I went up to London and walked up and down the Royal Mile. I think maybe the day before the coronation or maybe the day before that. And up and down the Royal Mile, tents and deck chairs and people camping out to get a prime view. you've got to admire their dedication, but it's just so unfair. They get to the front. And why does Zacchaeus climb the tree? Well, we've all been in crowds. You know, we're waiting for a procession to come past and you're chatting to your neighbour and, you know, this person here is sharing their kind of grapes with you and you're getting on. And you push the children to the front so that they can see. Well, Zacchaeus is the height of a child, but no one's going to push him to the front. They're going to try and kind of make sure that he can't get to the front to see. So Zacchaeus has to do something to look after his own interests. And the crowd, they just don't like that. Zacchaeus, the sinner. Third point. That finger doesn't bend. Third point. Zacchaeus represents us. We are Zacchaeus. I see some frowny faces. No, Mark, I don't agree, you say. Zacchaeus was, he was a proper sinner, a tax collector. Yeah, I'm not that bad. Says the Pharisee, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even this tax collector. Zacchaeus hurries to get a better view. He's self-interested. He probably left work early so that he could get a better view. He's acquisitive, interested in acquiring things and looking after number one. He's upset his neighbours in Jericho by imposing unfair taxes on them. I'm just doing my job, he'd say when challenged. Someone has to be a tax collector. And isn't there a little bit of Zacchaeus in each one of us? Aren't we all sinners in God's eyes? Yeah, that is what separates us from God and is the whole purpose of Jesus. His atoning death on the cross, Jesus Christ is Lord, was to restore us into a relationship with God, even though we're sinners. So yes, I think Zacchaeus represents each one of us. And before I move on, aren't we also the crowd grumbling? Well, I came to see Jesus and he's gone off to the house of that sinner. The carnival is over. Jesus has left us. Grumbling. It's not fair. Jesus has gone off with Zacchaeus. It's not fair. Put me in mind of me as a teenage boy getting the first bus in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, to get into town to queue up at the Gaumont Theatre to buy tickets for a concert. I daren't tell you the band. And I get to the Gaumont Theatre and we're not the first in the queue. Other people have beaten us to it. It's not fair. We wanted to be at the front of the queue. I think we are the crowd. We want things to be justified and fair. And when things don't go our way, we grumble and we find cause to complain about things. Nearly there. Fourth point. Salvation comes to Zacchaeus. I told you that little story about me queuing up for concert tickets to kind of wake you up, because this is the important part. Salvation comes to Zacchaeus and to the crowd and to us through Jesus. You know, the great, great irony of this story is the name Zacchaeus, the Hebrew name Zacchaeus. Be pure, unclean. The Greek, Zacchaeus, pure, innocent. We and the crowd might say, Zacchaeus is not living up to his name. He's not clean or pure or innocent. He's chief of the tax collectors. But Jesus has other plans for this day. He reaches the spot where Zacchaeus is in the tree, and he calls Zacchaeus down by name. How does Jesus know his name? All the names are written on my hand, says God. And more, he sees Zacchaeus in the tree, calls him down and says, I must stay in your house today. That's verse 5. Countercultural. This great teacher, this Son of God, Jesus, is once again aligning himself with the sinner, with the tax collector, and with the adulterer, and with the leper, and the blind men. Their sin would stick, or contaminate, or pollute the purity of Jesus. In that culture, visiting the home of a sinner would cause that sin to contaminate you. Now, obviously, the crowd are not happy about this. Jesus is going to be the guest of a sinner. They followed Jesus, the carnival, they're kind of like listening to what he has to say, and suddenly Jesus goes off with that sinner. No wonder they grumbled. How funny. Luke writes, they grumbled. Only number of chapters beforehand, Luke says, when Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, he was glorified by all. And now the all are grumbling and moaning that Jesus has gone off with a sinner. Salvation comes to Zacchaeus. In the book of Acts, we have that wonderful question. It's the jailer who asks, what must I do to be saved? Paul and Silas, the jail is just collapsed. And the jailer sees the power of the God, the Lord Almighty, and says, what shall I do to be saved? Jesus is God's plan to save mankind from the just punishment for sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, we read in our scriptures. The salvation of Zacchaeus and his household is declared by Jesus. Enigmatically, Jesus says, today, salvation has come to this house. Enigmatically, salvation has come to this house. It has a double meaning. Jesus might be referring to himself as salvation. Today, salvation, Jesus, has come to your house. Or he might be meaning that Jesus is bringing salvation to the home of Zacchaeus. Jesus would often refer to himself by other names or attributes. This is John 14, verse 6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And when salvation comes to Zacchaeus' house, it's through Jesus. How does Zacchaeus bring salvation to his house? I think the scripture is quite instructive for us. Zacchaeus brings about salvation for his house by placing his trust in Jesus, each one of us, we can do the same. We can place our trust in Jesus. And salvation is not earned by reading the Bible. It's not won by having Christian parents. Not even the son of a pope would be saved. You laugh. It has happened in history. Not by arriving here at the well 50 times or 500 times do you earn salvation. Salvation isn't the stamp from a coffee shop that you get by buying a coffee. You don't earn salvation by arriving here. No, salvation, being rescued from sin and its consequences, requires us to turn to Jesus, turn to Christ, and repent of our sins. Let's look how Zacchaeus brings salvation, and we can model our behavior on what we see from Zacchaeus. Not on the sinner, tax collector part of his behavior, but on how he brings salvation to his house. Firstly, Zacchaeus is anxious to see Jesus. He runs on ahead, climbs the tree. He's going to get laughed at by the crowd for doing that, but he wants to see Jesus. Let us want to meet Jesus. When he's called by name, he hurries down from the tree and welcomes Jesus gladly into his home. So let us welcome Jesus. Let us turn to Christ and accept his message. Zacchaeus sits down at the feet of Jesus and calls him Lord. Mark, it doesn't say he sits down at the feet of Jesus. No, but it does say that he stands up and announces his repentance. He must have been sitting at the feet of the Lord. And we, in our Christian walk, we can recognize Christ and declare him Lord at every time. And then, of course, Zacchaeus repents of his sin of cheating. And he even makes the Hebrew Bible repentance of giving four times what he stole. Exodus, I think. If you steal a lamb, you must give back four lambs in recompense. Zacchaeus says, if I've cheated anybody, I will pay them back four times what I owe. So Zacchaeus knows his scripture, knows this law of restitution, and publicly announces that he's going to make restitution to anybody that he's stolen. This is a public repentance. So Zacchaeus, salvation comes to his home. He accepts Jesus as Lord. Lord was the name of God at that time. Lord, he says to Jesus, I recognize you as God. And he repents of his sin. So, what of this passage? Perhaps you're not feeling in a right place with God today. Maybe you feel unworthy, unloved. Maybe you feel that you deserve God's judgment. Perhaps you're here today because you want to see Jesus, rather like the crowd in Jericho. But you haven't heard Jesus inviting himself into your heart or your home. Maybe you're grumbling that Jesus always seems to be going off with other people and never comes to your door and knocks on your door. I stand at the door and knock, he says. Maybe you were like me 30 years ago. I heard the message of Jesus and I'm just waiting for the Damascene thunderbolt to kind of hit me and my eyes to be opened. It didn't happen that way. It was just a quiet, peaceful, ongoing recognition that Jesus was for my heart. Right here, right now, you can turn to Jesus. You can turn to the Christ and be saved. You just have to wholeheartedly put your trust in Christ Jesus for forgiveness of your sins and make a conscious effort to repent. What must I do to be saved? Asked the jailer. Paul and Silas made it abundantly clear for the jailer and for each one of us. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. For the Son of Man came to seek you, us, and saved what was lost, we read in our passage. You might like to close your eyes while I read this. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness, you see. There's light for a look at the Saviour, and life more abundant and free. Lift your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen. If anything I've said has resonated, if you'd like to ask me more, if you feel a desire for prayer, stay after the service. Seek me or a trusted friend who I'm sure will be gladly thrilled to pray with you. And you might just need to do two things. Accept Jesus Christ as your Saviour and repent of your sins. And salvation will come to you too. We pray in Jesus' name for salvation to come to us and to the wider world outside the door. Thank you all. Amen.
I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. A man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. So you came along and put me back together. And every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. You've seen them all and you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you, Jesus. Oh, there's nothing than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who... You turn mourning to dancing. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you, Jesus. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. You're good, God. You're worthy of our worship. You're faithful. I love you, Lord. For your mercy never fails me. All my days have been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire and darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have it in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. In every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness. Sing all my life. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, running after. Your goodness is running after me. With my life laid down, I've surrendered now. Give you everything. Your goodness is running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. You are my rock in times of trouble. You lift me up when I fall down. All through the storm, your love is the
as we've been thinking and preparing for this week, and as Mark's been speaking, there's something that just really stood out to me. Oops, sorry, about this story about Zacchaeus, is that the engagement that he has with Jesus.